welcome back to 710 KNUS.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, as soon as I heard about this ICBM, and I think America is, those who weren't awakened are awakened now to the reality and enormity of this threat. The first person I thought of was you, because you've been talking about this day for a long, long time, and you have access to classified info. We don't, so you probably know a lot more about this to begin with. But where are we at with North Korea right now? And above all, what can be done?
Well, it appears in open source reporting that North Korea did successfully test launch intercontinental ballistic missile that traveled roughly 37 minutes, landed in the Sea of Japan, and has the capacity to hit the U.S. homeland. And that is right now Alaska, they believe this could hit. This is an unacceptable outcome. This is something that I've been warning about for years. We knew this would happen at some point during the next during this term of this president, President Trump's administration. And we've now crossed that red line. And so the question is what the global community is going to do about it. A madman armed with nuclear weapon capable of delivering it to the United States is simply unacceptable. If left unchecked, this will lead to nuclear proliferation in South Korea, in Japan, and an arms race in Asia that must be avoided. And so it's time to see what China is going to do to stand up. The United Nations will be holding an emergency session this afternoon. I have urged, that, along with Ambassador Haley, that this session be in an open setting so that we can see the countries, what they are going to do about it, what Russia is going to do, what China is going to do. A lot of people who have a lot of leverage have not stood up and showed leadership on this issue, and it's time that they do.
Senator Cory Gardner, our guest, assuming for the sake of conversation that China and Russia do nothing significant, lots of words, proposed meetings, et cetera, but nothing significant to help denuclearize North Korea, what can the U.S. do at this point? Is an obviously a last resort, but is military force even an option?
So I think, as the President and Secretary of State have said, everything is on the table, and to say that, President Obama said that about a number of places around the globe. But here's what I believe needs to be done. Number one, designate them as a state sponsor of terror. After the death of Otto Warmbier, after the murder of Kim Jong-un's stepbrother, we know what they are capable of. Label them a designated sponsor of terror. Two, start enforcing our sanctions to the fullest degree. That means that we impose secondary sanctions like we started to last week on a number of Japanese entities who we know are violating our sanctions. Start with a blockade of goods to North Korea. Convince others to cut off their petroleum supplies. Deny access to the financial systems around the globe, not just of North Korean entities, but of those who do business with North Korea. Let's start putting pressure on countries who are importing slave labor from North Korea so that they can stop this. What happens is North Korea sends out labor around the globe, but those payments that are paid in wages to those laborers then get back, shipped back to the North Korean regime to help prop up this madman in Pyongyang. We need to put pressure on those countries to stop the labors from being used as a human rights violation in the first place. So there's a lot more pressure, and we can't just talk about it, though. We have to start implementing these pressure tactics and start to see the results that we have to have, and that is denuclearization of the Kim regime.
Well, and everything you say makes sense, Senator, but will that be enough, in your opinion, in the end, to either cause regime change or cause Kim Jong-un at this point to give up his nuke program?
We've got to find the leverage to make it enough, because the consequence of armed conflict
right.
are catastrophic.
Right.
Seoul has 20 million people living in the urban area and the metropolitan area of Seoul in South Korea. The consequences of an armed conflict would be beyond the pale, and that's why we have to ratchet up the pressure to stop this from reaching that level. I believe there are plenty of tools in the toolbox left do this, but it can't just be the United States standing on its own. It has to be China. It has to be other nations, and that's why we have to start putting pressure directly on China. I commend the administration last week for sanctioning a Chinese bank and mm-hmm. several others for their violations of the sanctions, and we just have to do more.
Mm. Senator Cory Gardner, our special guest, and Senator, what is the window, the time window here within which to work, or after this ICBM launch, are we already at the point where Hey, we've crossed that threshold, and we have to assume North Korea has the ability to hit at least Alaska, you know, and maybe, of course, our West Coast. So have we already crossed that line, and does that, in essence, make it less urgent? Because at this point, it's not as if we've got to stop them before they get 6 months down the road and get that capability.
Well, this is a new chapter of urgency, and it just pushes the faster action required. I mean, here's the reality. If North Korea has an ICBM, and the next question will be, do they have a miniaturized warhead that's right. capable of reentry? I mean, that'll be the next question. But there's only one way to find that out, and I really don't want to find that out. This is that point in time where we've got to get the world together, a global community, to put that maximum pressure, as the administration has called it, into place against North Korea. If we don't do this, I mean, you're going to see a Japan, you're going to see a South Korea, and others around the region start their own nuclear programs because they have to out of self-defense. And that is a frightening development, something that we've been able to avoid thanks to U.S. Defense alliances for decades, and something that we have to work to avoid in the future.
Senator Cory Gardner, I guess. Senator, if you were president, and I'd sleep very well if you were, wouldn't you have to assume at this point, even though you can't be certain, but from everything you've seen, in order to be safe and err on the side of protecting the American people, don't you have to assume that North Korea has the ability to hit the U.S. right now, Alaska and or the West Coast? And in a circumstance like that, if Donald Trump doesn't do something effective, very obvious, very dramatic, I'm not necessarily talking about a military option, but if he doesn't do something big and bold right now, doesn't he convey weakness? Doesn't that invite further attack, deterioration in respect for the United States around the world?
Well, if you look at the last several decades, there has been bipartisan failure of our North Korea strategy. The last 8 years of strategic patience showed nothing but weakness, because it was simply, we're going to let you do what you do while we ignore you. And in the meantime, they've tested a handful of nuclear weapons. They've now succeeded in an ICBM launch, and that has shown weakness. And so, you know, now is not the time for doubting capability. We have to assume they have the capability, because we can't risk the chance that they would do it. And so the president must take decisive action. He must stand up to China. He must stand up to Russia. And that's why the sanctions legislation that I authorized must be utilized. It must be fully implemented. And we're going to be pushing the United Nations today to do even more. And I think everybody in the United States needs to understand and demand that China, who controls 90% of North Korea's economy, stand up and do more.
And you've been generous with your time, Senator. Again, you've been years ahead of the curve on this issue. But when it comes to China, what can the U.S. do? What can the U.S. quietly threaten to do and then deliver on if it has to, that would have such a high-level impact on China that China would be likely to act?
Well, I think if you look at what happened during the Iran sanctions, when China really was not coming along when it comes to sanctions against Iran, the United States placed some tough secondary sanctions on Chinese financial entities. And eventually, China came around to participate with the global community in the sanctions regime against Iran, which led to the weakening of the Iran regime. Now, ultimately, that ended the wrong way with the nuclear agreement, but that kind of pressure worked to get China more involved. We should do the same thing with North Korea. We need to start targeting their financial sector. We need to start targeting their business. There are 5,000 different businesses in China that are doing business with North Korea. We know every single one of them through the investigations that have taken place, both government and non-governmental investigations, and we ought to go after them. And make the point that we are not going to stand by while Kim Jong-un destabilizes some of those populous countries in the world.
Amen. And Senator, you've been generous with your time in our last 30 seconds together. A quick take on health care, what you think the timetable is at this point, whether you think there is going to be a bill out of the Senate?
Well, look, I think there's got to be a bill that replaces Obamacare with something that's going to work. You know, I'm not going to predict what that's going to be on a time frame wise, but I do think that you've started to see positive directions from the bill dealing with stability of the marketplace, dealing with driving down healthcare costs. You can see that. And so additional legislative language has been sent to the Congressional Budget Office. At least that's what I read in the paper and what I've been told. And so we'll see how that debate goes. But too many Coloradans have seen their health insurance spike 2 times their health and cost, health costs have increased nearly 105% nationally. Coloradans, some of them are paying 2 times this year what they paid last year, and they paid last year 2 times what they paid the year before. It's unacceptable. That's why we have to find a better solution.
Right. And last question, as you know, Ben Sasse and some others have been talking about now repeal and replace later separately. Where do you come down on that?
Look, I think that if you repeal it now with nothing in its place, what happens if you don't find that replacement? What happens if you don't reach that agreement? I think that we ought to move forward with an idea now and put a solution forward to the American people. Look, this is something that Republicans and Democrats ought to find common ground with, because if Democrats refuse to find a solution to a failing Obamacare, shame on them.
Right.
And that's what we have to realize, is the status quo isn't good enough. And the alternative is a single-payer health care system. And look what happened in England right now with that child, the parents who no longer have the ability to determine their child's fate because it's in the hands of the government.
Crazy, crazy. Well, Senator, thanks for the great work you're doing back there. Appreciate the time today and look forward to the next conversation.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me.
Take care. That's Senator Cory Gardner. And I'll tell you, that's what I mean by value added. And you take a U.S. Senator like Cory Gardner, and he's leading on so many different issues. And I happen to think he's leading the right direction on virtually everything. But even if you disagree with him, he's leading. He's taken a stand. He's working. He's recognized. He's respected. He's ahead of the curve on North Korea, etc. So to me, that's full value from a U.S. Senator. Now, you contrast that with a Michael Bennett, who's kind of a waste of a Senate seat and just a rubber stamp for Chuck Schumer. But Cory Gardner, you know, I think he's doing it right. 303-696-1971, the number. And we're going to have Wayne Williams join us. And listen, we're going to be talking a lot of North Korea this morning, as I've been suggesting to you for months and months and months. Everything we talk about every day is so important. But short of the country being saved in the last presidential election, you know, North Korea is going to overshadow everything. And then don't forget about Iran right behind North Korea. Because these twin evils, you know, on opposite sides of the globe, these twin evils, you know, that threaten the very existence of the United States of America, or at least major cities in the United States, absolutely our way of life. And administration after administration has kicked the can down the road. I have a feeling Donald Trump is not a can kicker. He's not a kick the can down the road kind of guy. And so a combination of really the perfect storm of when these threats are reaching their peak and reaching their nuclear capability, their operational nuclear capability. And I have to say, Casey, it's operational when you can launch an ICBM like they did yesterday. And questions will be raised about the ability to handle reentry with a nuclear payload, blah, 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 blah. But what are we going to do? I mean, are we going to wait until there's a mushroom cloud over Seattle or L.A. or Anchorage? Yeah, or do you have to, as the senator just suggested, assume that North Korea has that capability now and act accordingly? And what is the proper way forward in North Korea? So what we'll do is we'll launch into that conversation, 303-696-1971. Secretary of State Wayne.